Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it's the IGN UK podcast. It's Friday. It's been a very long week for me and you two, Dale and Matt.
When you said hello like that, I felt the urge to not make eye contact with you. I don't know why.
I thought that was about to turn into like a little musical jingle. It was very really? Sing-song.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was hosting some sort of variety show.
Yeah. It's not that.
Nah. Well, this is a variety show of sorts. We've got films, we've got games. Oh, okay. It is a variety show when you think about it. Last week, we had a script reading.
We did,
so we kind of do everything. We got rid of the garage, probably for the best.
Yeah, now we've got scripts we wrote. Yeah, that's the new feature.
You guys have been transatlantic this week.
We have.
Yeah, been over in Montreal.
Been in the land of poutine.
And we climbed a mountain.
You got to do that every time.
It's my third time up that mountain.
It's only my first time up the mountain.
How is it without the snow?
A lot fucking easier, surprisingly. Do you know what? It's very beautiful at the top, whether you're in summer or you're in winter. Oh. I recommend it if you go to Montreal. Go up the Mount Royal.
It's a nice place. A lot of good food in Montreal as well.
Yes, very good food.
Anyway, while you were away, I went to see a little film called Joker.
I've heard of this film.
Ooh. I've seen a poster for it in my local tube station.
I'm not going to go in depth on it because I think only me and Jesse so far on the team have actually seen it. Mm. And we're all seeing it together again next week. Mm-hmm. So I think in a couple of weeks we'll do a more spoiler section at the end of a podcast where we can go in depth about it. So I'm briefly just going to tell you that I think this film is absolutely incredible.
I mean, that seems the general consensus so far, right?
Often you see like a film or a game get tons of reviews, like tons of 10 out of 10s, 5 stars everywhere, and then you end up seeing it and you're like, I don't really get what people... I had that with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like when that first
was, that getting
was shown at festivals, everyone was giving it 5 stars.
That's
masterpiece.
Mental. That's a 3-star film if I've ever seen it.
It's cooled off since. I'd give it 4, I think, now.
In hindsight.
Anyway, that one splits opinion. Joker doesn't seem to be splitting opinion as much in the way of the quality of film is. Yeah. I think it is... It's the best film I've seen in a good couple of years.
Really?
Since about Blade Runner 2049, I would say.
I came out of the cinema recently with my wife, and I... What film was it recently?
It's not so long ago,
I think it was it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you stalking them?
Yeah, I hang about in there.
She said, what do you think? And I did that, so it was okay. And she said, you don't like any films at the moment. Every film you come out, you don't like. And I'm hopeful that Joker is one I come out of, like, yeah, bloody brilliant.
It is bloody brilliant.
Oh, I'm very
Joaquin
excited.
Phoenix... He was already my favourite actor in the world, and now he will be for quite a while, I think, because I can't see anyone beating that performance.
Would you say it's his new role? Is like the one that his go-to one, where you say, Joaquin Phoenix from Joker?
I think so, because he rarely does anything considered mainstream, and this is as close as he's written.
Yeah.
In his earlier days, when he was younger, he did that, and The Village and Signs, they were a bit more mainstream. But since then, he's done, The Master and Inherent Vice.
What was that? Is it You Never Really Hear?
The Lynn Ramsey
also
one.
Also an incredible film. but yeah, he's just incredible. And in this role, he is brilliant. And he's in every single scene. And it is heavily inspired by Taxi Driver and The King Comedy, which I think everyone has said, and you can see it just from the trailer. This is modelled on like 70s and 80s Scorsese, and they pull it off, and do you know what? I'm going to even say that I prefer it to Taxi Driver.
Wow.
And it's even madder, is it's made by the guy who made The Hangover as well.
It is. Like Todd Phillips. There is, like, it is in, is a very dark film. Hmm. It is not a ha-ha Joker film. Oh, it really is. There are a couple of bits of very, very dark comedy.
Okay.
And I mean, like, the darkest of comedy. Like, if you're you don't want to laugh at it, but
is there any light moments? Or redeemable moments?
Because this is the thing, right? Like, the Joker...
Not really.
Is he the Joker... Is it, like, a completely different interpretation of this character? Or is there still that he's got... He's doing things because he finds them funny, even if they're really not?
I don't know if he's finding them funny. I think... It is definitely, because I know I was talking to you about, you were not worried, but you were maybe thinking it's more Taxi Driver than a Batman film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is definitely more Taxi Driver than a Batman film, but that universe is still there. It's still about the Joker. It's not just about a man who's losing his mind.
See, I think that's where, like, obviously we're not seeing it until next week, but I think that's where my judgment will lie, because, you know, the Batman comics are a big part of my reading history. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I perceive it, like, I think I'm going to really enjoy it, but I think whether I give it a 10 or a 9 maybe, let's say, would be based on how well it make, because I think without the source material there's no point. He's just a man in a costume.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how it links into the wider Gotham City.
You could do the film without it being called Joker, and about, instead of being a clown makeup, you could just be a man. You could do that. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely some Joker lore in there, and there's Joker stuff.
Because otherwise there's no point, right?
No. And the score is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Who does it?
It is so good. That's a good question. I should have researched it. It is by the...
I'm going to guess.
...woman who did the score for Sicario 2.
I'm not going to guess.
I have not seen Sicario 2, so I...
But the score for that is brilliant. But yeah, it's just so good. Also, did Mary Magdalene the score for that?
Oh, okay. You've seen it? Mm-hmm. How long is this film?
It's only 2 hours.
Perfect. Sick of 3 hour films at the moment.
It's 2 hours and it has room to breathe. It's not it doesn't ride along at a good pace, but it's constantly got that sense of tension building and building. It's very much like, if you like Taxi Driver, you'll like this film. And a lot of people like Taxi Driver, so I imagine a lot of people like this film.
Is it one of those where, if you didn't know it was Phillips doing it, would you? And because obviously Scorsese was involved in the project way back when.
Way back, yeah.
Would you? Is it one of those films where you'd look at it and go, "Oh, I think that's a Scorsese flick"?
It kind of, maybe. It kind of doesn't have quite the kind of punchy dialogue that a Scorsese film has. It's a lot slower paced, and it's a lot more... There's not a ton of dialogue. It's a lot more considered, I think, than a Scorsese film, which is... rarely does Scorsese do a scene where people aren't talking at 100 miles an hour, but I also adore Scorsese. The Irishman looks absolutely incredible, and I can't wait for that, which is 3 hours 20. You're looking at that there.
No.
That's not... And that's on Netflix. Are you watching a 3 hour 20 film at home on Netflix?
How long is Ad Astra? That's apparently...
That's
long,
only two,
no,
isn't it?
No, two.
Okay.
It feels like it's on for three,
I really want to see it, but I just look at it and I think, that looks like a 3 hour film. I don't know if I can be bothered.
So it looks like a 3 hour film and it feels like a 3 hour film, but it's only on for two.
Okay.
Real time's
better than perceived time.
Yeah. And that's not to... Obviously, I quite like Ad Astra, so that's not a slight on it, but it does feel like a big film.
I will say that's similar to Joker. It maybe feels slightly long, but I think that's just films that have a slower pace.
Are we just talking pacing here? That makes it feel a little bit... I think when I consider something, then when it says it feels like a 3 hour film, is I'm in and I'm bored and I look at the time and it's only been half an hour and it feels like it's been an hour. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a slower pace, that's sometimes desirable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it depends. But anyway, that's as much as I'll say about it, because I don't want to spoil anything. I would just tell people...
Is it self-contained?
To be very... Yeah.
Yeah. Does it end where you feel like there's no sequel?
I don't want to know
about what happens.
I want it to be self-contained, is what it is. I don't want it to be plugged into some fucking DC universe.
What I'd just say about that is Joaquin Phoenix the kind of guy who'd go back to a character over and over
you'd
again?
You'd hope not, right?
To me, like, you can tell from the trailers, seeing that character opposite a Robert Pattinson Batman, I don't think... I like Robert Pattinson a lot, but to me that wouldn't feel right.
So for me, I'm not looking for it to get plugged into the wider DC universe. But what I do want from it, and I don't want you to tell me, Cardi, but what I want from it is a suggestion that this is about the Joker, who is the nemesis of what will one day become Batman, because without Batman the Joker's a fucking pointless character.
Yeah.
And this film is set in, I think, 1981.
Yeah, and Thomas Wayne's obviously part of it. He was in the trailer.
But yeah, I'm not going to say any more, just at the risk of hinting at anything. We'll go into it in more depth, but I'll just tell people that just it is brilliant. Believe the hype.
Hey.
That's what I'd say. We saw a film last night, Matt.
We did.
Another film that's not out for 2 months.
I know, because we were part of the British Film Festival at the moment. Ooh. So we got to see a screening from that.
A new film called Knives Out by Rian Johnson of Star Wars fame.
Popular boy, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, everyone loves
him. I like him a lot.
I've never heard anything bad against Rian Johnson.
Well, you say that. Obviously, a lot of people don't like
The Last Jedi.
Yes. And he's kind of taken it out on them in this film a bit.
Oh, really?
Oh, this is... there are many, many jokes in this.
About, like, fandom, online fandom.
Well, the alt-right and, you know,
about Twitter. Media. But if you don't know what Knives Out is, it is a comedy whodunit. I think it's...
So it's a whodunit with
comedy, but it's funny.
It's got a lot of comedic elements, and I think the one thing I'd say, it's a whodunit in a very traditional style, in that it's set in the big, almost Cluedo style mansion. It's
is it modern day?
Yeah.
See, everything I'd seen about it, I assumed it
was that's the thing.
Is it Agatha Christie was around now and wrote a whodunit with these kind of social commentary elements on it?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very, very modern, despite the fact that all of its tropes are very kind of 1950s whodunit. Stuff. Yeah. So I really quite like that. But yeah, it does mean there's lots of cutting sort of dialogue about Twitter, about like one of the people's sons is like this 16-year-old alt-rightist always on.
I think it hits the mark well, though, because it never ventures into that of becoming, it's trying to smack you over the head with a message. Yeah. It's
just
not
the
about
odd little, the odd little
line. There's just like a couple of characters who are obviously, well, there's a lot of characters in it who are not very nice people.
Yeah.
But it's a classic whodunit. It starts off with, it's not spoiled to say, it's in the trailer, and the old, like, the head of a family played by Christopher Plummer is found dead, and then obviously enters Daniel Craig's southern drawl accented detective Benoit Blanc, who is quite obviously like a parody of Poirot. And I've never seen Daniel Craig be that funny.
He's very, very good.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's like, I think it's quite obvious that the accent isn't supposed to be all that spot on.
Because it's
how do
funny.
You mean? Oh,
because it's a southern accent, but you can still kind of hear his London accent. Okay. But it's
don't answer the question.
So
but
good.
In my head, I'm thinking, is that a plot point? Like, is he putting on an accent?
Well, I was thinking that through. I was thinking that too. But the cast is absolutely absurd for this film.
Yeah, it's like it's definitely an ensemble cast, but there are two people that are kind of at the forefront, which is Daniel Craig and Ana de Armas.
Which is not Chris who Evans. I expected.
No, yeah. So Chris Evans is in it, and he's probably got, out of all the family members,
it's
maybe
like
the
top five part.
Yeah.
But you've got like Toni Collette, you've got
Jamie Lee Curtis,
you've got Don, what's his name?
Don Johnson. Yeah, Don Johnson. Right, okay.
Young Bill from It?
Yeah, Young Bill from It. Wow. From the first one. He's the little shitty Nazi boy. You've got Catherine Langford from 13 Reasons Why. Mm. You've got, who am I missing?
Oh, there's so
from
many people.
Boardwalk.
Oh, Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon with a horrendous beard.
I did see Michael Shannon in the trailer.
It is a great cast. And a lot of them don't have tons to do, but what they do well, just because they're all just such good actors. Mm.
In dialogue, it reminds me much more like, if you've ever seen Brick, which I guess is probably, is that Rian Johnson's first film, or is it at least his first main film?
Yeah, it was one of his earlier films, which is also very good.
Yeah.
But it's much funnier than Brick.
Yeah, but Brick had got that kind of snappiness to its dialogue, which this has got, but this one has got a lot more jokes to it.
I feel like it's been a good, like, obviously I haven't spoken to Rian Johnson, but it feels like it was just a good palate cleanser for him after Star Wars
definitely.
And everything, just to do just a classic kind of like 50s, 60s whodunit that's funny.
I assumed he'd move straight on to his new Star Wars trilogy.
He probably wanted to move away from
but
that.
But no, I mean, I'm sure he's probably still doing it in the back end, but the fact that he got to do something like this is really cool.
And obviously we won't spoil anything, because the whole point of a whodunit is whodunit, so we're not going to give anything away, but it pulls it off well.
Yeah, it's got a nice
plot.
Yeah, I think it's structured really nicely. Like, the first probably third of it is very much just like, it's Daniel Craig sat in a room just listening to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's very, very odd, just sort of sitting there fidgeting around.
Just, like, come out of odd, like, philosophical phrases that mean nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
which I guess is sort of a little bit of a spin on Poirot, because Poirot's always got something right to say, right? But it always sounds a bit wanky.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is, it sounds wanky, but there's not a point really to it.
Yeah. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. It's not an amazing film. It's just really good fun. It's not something you're going to watch over and over again, like with any whodunit.
Particularly funny?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's a funny film.
Sounds good.
And it's not out till like November 29th, I think, here.
Yeah,
so it's a while to wait.
Exclusive, boys.
But it's... join the club, Dale. But it's really fun. If Joker's a 10 out of 10, which I genuinely think is a 10 out of 10 film, then, yeah, Knives Up is like a solid 8.
Yeah,
really
I'd give it an 8.
Fun.
Sweet.
So, yeah, look forward to that. Oh, do you know what else you can get your knives out in? The Modern Warfare beta.
I mean, maybe you can. I didn't use a knife. Yeah.
Are you not much of a stabber?
I'm not really. No, I like to keep my distance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like when you're watching Dale come out of the cinema.
Hiding in the bush.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of a like stabber. I was just trying to think, are you a stabber in Siege? But you're not, are you?
No, no. I think I've had a few kills with the knife.
You'd be ganked with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Always getting stabbed in Siege. Anyway, how are you enjoying the Modern Warfare beta, Matt? Because I have not played it.
You did not play it, right. So I think it's over now, isn't it? It was mainly over last weekend.
Right.
But I think it's very, very good.
I watched quite a bit of people playing it, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah, so it is a very, very good looking game, but I think Call of Duty tends to be, just even when it's been using like its old engine.
I mean, these campaign trailer that they recently released, that just looks, the faces in that, I know a lot of those are obviously cutscenes, but it does look
their
phenomenal.
Performance capture tech is amazing.
Were
you playing on PC?
And it very much, like, I think with Call of Duty, I'm never not going to play it on PC. It's, for me, it's like, I've been playing it since, because obviously the first game only came out on PC, but also like the aiming system in Call of Duty is so snappy, and I know that now it's largely built for console because that's where it's at, but there's something about Call of Duty's gun feel that I think really suits mouse and keyboard.
Fair enough.
But the interesting thing about it this time is so I have probably made it clear on this podcast before, I don't particularly like Black Ops. Partially that's because I think their campaigns are garbage, but also like Black Ops is very, very fast, and I don't really run at that pace, like mentally. So Modern Warfare feels a lot slower, I'd say, in terms of how you play it. Probably like 3-speed operators from Siege.
Okay. Right.
So
which is still relatively quick.
Which is still pacey, and obviously it's a much quicker game than Siege because there's a lot more going on.
Yeah.
But that pace suits me a lot better, and I was surprised at how quickly like I took to it, and was just, let's say, I'm not the traditional Call of Duty multiplayer player. I've always like played campaigns. And I think Infinity Ward have always been the best at campaigns. They've made my favorite ones. And playing this just makes it clear that kind of like, I actually think Infinity Ward are just there. For me, they're the Call of Duty studio. They know what they're doing. This multiplayer, like the map design is, there's a lot more like opportunities to do things in it. So for example, like as I was running along, I noticed like a lot of buildings have very small grates at the bottom that you can just duck down and belly crawl into.
Okay, that's cool.
I was like, that's a little bit kind of what I'd assume at something like Dishonored, or
can't you mount your guns on like windowsills?
So you can go up to a windowsill and sort of like, I don't know what it'll be on console, but it's one of the side mouse buttons, and you just anchor the gun onto it.
That's cool. I like that.
Whether you've got a bipod or you're just trying to balance the barrel, so you just get that little bit of stability.
I don't know if that's a new thing or not, because I haven't really been properly into a Call of Duty multiplayer since Modern Warfare 3. I played quite a bit of, but
I don't remember it being in, because I played some of Black Ops 4, and I don't remember it being in that, but Black Ops 4 is just the pace of it is so much different, and you know, it's a lot more frantic. But you also get deployable shields, which is another CG style
thing.
So they're not as kind of like, I suppose in Rainbow you're using them more as, I mean, we frequently use them as blocks, right? They are to stop people coming into areas, whereas I guess this is more as genuine cover.
Actual shield,
you can drop them into places that are important to kind of try and funnel people, as they're like, one of the maps that got this brilliant sort of little cave network, and they were quite good at forcing people to zigzag, so you get them as they were coming around on the angle.
Oh, that's cool.
So you're looking forward to it. Do you think you're generally going to play quite a bit of it this year.
Yeah, so I mean, it's probably never going to replace Siege as my kind of core multiplayer, just because like that's what we play here.
Yeah,
but I can see me getting into it at least over like the initial season.
What modes were you playing?
So there was one where I can't remember what the names are, and I don't know if I haven't played.
What are the normal names?
So one was kind of like yeah. So there's the deathmatch, which I've done. There was one where you kind of went into buildings and you hacked, like, I think it was called HQ cyber attack or something like that. So you hack the building, it stops the enemy from respawning for the distance that you've got it, and then it stops it and puts a new HQ on the map, and then you go and hack that. That was quite exciting, especially when it stops the respawning, because then it comes again a little bit like Siege. You have to, you know, take your time a bit more and consider where all the angles are.
Yeah.
Got lots of gadgets in it as well now. Sort of like, I noticed, like, if people have put a claymore down, you can pull your tablet out and hack the claymore so it comes back onto your side.
This is all intriguing me, but it's also part of the problem of why I fell off of Call of Duty multiplayer, was that there was just too many things going on.
There is
too
a lot
much you can do. Like, I just, like, when I used to play Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 for hundreds of hours, it was just simple. You had a gun, the upgrade system was simple, you just simple attachments, red dot sights or whatever.
So this is just,
and it was just shooting people. Whereas this seems like there's
they have to evolve the idea.
I know they have to evolve it, but it's also where I become less interested. Sure. Where I can't just, well, maybe I can just upgrade a weapon and run around and play deathmatch, but I feel like
you'd be outskilled by people who are using all the gadgets.
I feel like that's not how it is played anymore.
So far from what I could see, there's none of the, you know, like there was the pick 10 system and stuff like that. That doesn't, so that was like where you build out your loadouts and stuff.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like it's that anymore. It is like at the start, until you get to, I think it's level 5, you have 4 preset loadouts, which are very much like assault, sniper, demolitions.
That's how Modern Warfare used to work.
Yeah, and then when you get after that, you get to make your own loadouts, and basically just the more you play with a gun, the more options you get with it.
Okay, so it's exactly how Modern Warfare used to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm intrigued again.
I do think that even though there's a lot more stuff you can be doing with it, they are much more kind of moment-to-moment quality of life enhancements rather than the entire game is different now. Yeah. I think it's still a traditional Modern Warfare multiplayer. It's just that that pacing feels so right and the guns feel so good.
There we go.
And when I can do 26 kills in a round...
Oh, shang in.
Oh, yes. There you go. That's what he likes. That's the real reason.
You just got to get better at ganking.
All right.
Because you'll definitely have to get better at ganking in The Last of Us Part 2.
Yes.
Because you are armed with a lovely little knife.
Doesn't break this time, does it?
That game.
Yeah, but that was the shivs, wasn't it? This is like a whole new thing.
It's a new system.
Yeah,
yeah. And my God, does that look good.
It looks
the last
incredible, doesn't
part
it?
Part 2 like, is out in February, which to me was slightly surprising. There were leaks and stuff before, but I didn't believe them. I thought this was definitely like a summer game.
Get it out before the for the quarter before ends, maybe before the financial year.
Fucking busy February to May.
Oh, it's too busy. Like, that's actually a little bit annoying. I wish I'd just taken the time, only because I feel like I want to play it as soon as it comes out. I want to play Final Fantasy 7 as soon as it comes out. I want to play Watch Dogs as soon as it comes out.
And got to get all those done before Cyberpunk, which will probably take about 4 years to finish. By the looks of it.
At least The Last of Us, you know, it's probably going to be max like a 16-hour
game. I think it'll be longer.
I think
you've seen it's over 2 discs.
But that's the end of the console life cycle. Like,
textures, right?
Yeah, that's where I think
they also said it's their biggest game yet in terms of scale and ambition.
I think that it could be like a 22, 25-hour thing, but I don't think it's not like a Red Dead or not an RPG, right?
No, I don't think
we're
going to that extent, but I'm thinking around 20 hours.
You know, when we were talking last week, we were saying... there's so many games that are coming out at the moment and they're just technical messes when they're coming out, and we're thinking, oh, is that the signs of the end of the generation? I haven't
no doubt
that Last of Us is going to be completely
no way is that game
no technical
or
issues whatsoever.
Well,
maybe
sticking
the, but no, I think, like, even though how incredible it looks, you just trust Naughty Dog that they have refined the release date is set in stone at this point. You gotta think,
I mean, we never had that with Red Dead. You had like funny glitches and stuff happening, but it never did like the game seize up and like frame rate was an issue for me anyway. But I think like it is possible to do a game that looks that good with these consoles. Like The Last of Us 2 looks like it has like the landscapes of Red Dead 2, but with like the facial animation of Call of Duty or a Naughty Dog.
It's not just the facial animations though, is it? It's like the way that like those people move. There was when I was watching the trailer and you see was either the trailer or some footage we got in a feature that, because Jonathan went to see it,
yeah,
didn't he?
Sent out a bit of B-roll, I think.
And there's just a bit where Ellie sort of, because you know you can like dive flat prone. Yeah.
You can just fall over when you're on it.
But she dives into like this long grass, which I automatically is like, that's the sort of, because obviously I'm a stealth boy, right? Yeah, I love that sort of stuff. But it's the way that she's prone firing the bow and arrow, and the way that like her body sort of contorts to let her pull it back, like it's so realistic.
There's a shot in the trailer where she's riding the horse and you see that front on shot of her, and I just think it looks fantastic the way you can see her face squinting because the snow's
I don't know what they're doing over there,
because create magic is what they're doing.
Absurd, but yeah there's not a lot more to say about it apart from it looks dark as fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm into it.
And we're going to get to play it a lot sooner than we thought we might as well.
I can't wait to see what they do with that story, because I trust them pretty much more than anyone.
Do you trust them with Joel?
I do, and I'm still not 100% convinced he is there.
I was thinking that earlier today. Is it like a Joker in whatever the Batman was when Joker was dead? The third
Batman
one, I guess.
Night.
I think that it's almost a bit like they're tricking you with like the shots they had in the Last Jedi trailer where... Like, when she says, what are you doing here? She's out in, like, a grassy area. And then he cuts him and he's in an inside building with stairs and something. Like, I know it could obviously be a blown-out building. Mm-hmm. It could easily be the same scene. But I don't know. Ever since the first trailer, they showed Ray just walks in the room and says nothing. I just have in my head that that's, like, a vision or just, like, a...
And I'd like it to be, because, sort of, like, I know for a lot of people, The Last of Us is Ellie and Joel together. Mm. But for me, it's always been, like... Ellie is the focal point, and sort of we've done Joel's story because like that arc that are we allowed to talk about what happens at the end of The Last of Us now
on
the podcast?
Like, it's been
Joe's not here. It's fine.
Joe's finished it.
Oh yeah, of course.
But you get like that whole thing where sort of like you expose that really Joel isn't all that great of a guy. Like he's very
selfish.
Horrible
guy at the end of that game. Yeah,
an incredibly selfish man, and sort of like. I can see where the idea of maybe part two would be a redemption story for him, but how do you redeem yourself
still
after?
I feel like he'll be it in some way. I can't believe they won't have him in it physically at some point. I don't know if they'll do... Is it too obvious for Naughty Dog to do the thing now of opening the game, you play as Joel and you die?
That's exactly what I was just thinking about. Like, yeah, he dies in the opening game and then it's Ellie dealing with her guilt about something maybe, and then that's why he's constantly there with her.
I want clicker Joel and you have to kill him.
That's very The Walking Dead though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how sort of like, you know, the stuff with Lee and Clem, because that's what I like, is it's that story, the Lee and Clementine story from Walking Dead season one. But obviously Lee is, even though he was a criminal at the start of that game, he is just a wonderful man that's just trying to look out. Whereas with Joel, it's very much like a man who just cannot deal with the fact that his daughter died and will do
such. There's also, they've got to pay off what happened at the end of the first one as well. Like, at some point, she has to find out about what really happened.
It'd be such a strong way to start the game, though, and like a literal like putting the first one to bed. If you have to kill Joel.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
thinking. Maybe Ellie kills Joel and then it's, like guilt.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll see in 5 months' time. Oh my God, isn't that exciting? Yeah. But there are some games that are out now that you could play literally now.
What? If you what am I podcasting for then?
This one, you can play on your phone if you have an Apple device, that
I
is.
I do, I do.
I don't. Are you enjoying Apple Arcade? Let's briefly talk about Apple Arcade.
I haven't played that many on it, to be honest. Okay. That's why I haven't really brought about it.
Android boy. I can't play it.
I played a bit of Sayonara Wild Heart.
That's exactly the game we're about to talk about.
Is it? So Matt's, me and Matt have spoken about it already. He's played substantially more than I have.
You've played, I think you've played for it three times now. On the Nintendo Switch?
On the Switch, yes.
This is your alley, isn't it, that we're walking down right now?
So if anybody that doesn't know, Sayonara Wild Hearts is basically a synth pop album with like where the music videos are games that you play.
How many of boxes does this tick for you?
I mean, a lot. There's like if there was a box of boxes, that would be what they're ticking.
You're ticking them all.
What it effectively... I can remember Joe sort of explaining it, because Joe played it before me, and he was just like, you're going to love this, because it is effectively sort of like the cast of Sailor Moon find their way into a church's music video. And so it's effectively the story of, like... when you boot up the game, you get like the prologue, I suppose, which has got Queen Latifah explaining what happens. And it's basically, it's all done very mystically, but the story is like a girl has just been broken up with by, and you never see like their, whether it was a boyfriend or girlfriend or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like her coming out of a falafel shop and sort of just miserably going home. And then it's like, the music starts on the main menu, and even like the music that plays over the main menu is like the introduction to this girl sort of like not realizing, like the lyrics are about how she just never saw it coming, you know, how how has this happened? And then basically, you know how kind of like Scott Pilgrim is like this, it's actually a film or you know, a graphic novel about falling in love and dealing with those emotions, but it is personified by these massive sort of fantasy style battles. Yeah. That's what Sayonara Wild Hearts is. It's like a story of trying to, it's like her breaking down over time and like all of her component parts becoming like villains.
This sounds so fun.
It's but it's done in this like bright pink neon purple sort of, if you can imagine something like Thumper is I guess the easiest way.
That's what it felt like to me initially.
Yeah, so there are various kind of vehicles that she uses. So sometimes she's on a skateboard, sometimes, most of the time she's on a motorbike. Mm-hmm. And so if you can imagine Thumper or what are those other games that are like
Audio
that?
Audio Surf.
Yeah.
I love that, because you can put any song you wanted into.
Yeah. So, and then basically you just, you pick up like collectibles on the way, and then there are hearts that you can sort of jump through.
Can you
to
actually fail levels? Do you have to hear the same song over and over again if you shit?
So you don't fail a level, because it's very much like it's built for people that don't necessarily have to be good at games. Okay. It's all about, it is just about finishing it, but there are points where like you can ride into a tree, let's say, and it'll just flick it back about 3 seconds, maybe even less than that. It's almost like that Hotline Miami, like you're instantly back in the action. Mm-hmm. If you do it too many times, I think it's if you do it like 5 times, the game will ask you like, are you sure you don't just want to skip forward past this little bit? So it is very much a game that's designed to be finished.
And want you to enjoy the experience.
As a man who's not massively into synth pop, Dale, what are
I
your
don't
opinions?
Dislike it.
You've told me on numerous occasions that you hoped all synth pop would burn.
What the fuck? I was wondering what you were going to say, because I was like, shit, is he going to say something I've really said?
what are you scared of me saying?
I don't know. To be fair, I have not. So I did the first two tracks, basically. Uh-huh. And that was more me, the first day of Apple Arcade, download, that. And then I've just booted up and I've played like 10, 20 minutes of each game so far. But I thought, this seems cool. It reminded me of Thumper, and it was something that I want to go into. All that story stuff you're talking about, completely no interest to me. I was just sort of skipping past
that.
Married.
Don't need that anymore.
But stuff like that, it's just, it's not my sort of style. But I really enjoy like rhythm-based music games and stuff like that. So it has that aspect of it that appealed to me.
That's what I'm intrigued by. Like, if I think, I don't mind that sort of music, so I think I'll be fine with it. But if it's not your sort of music at all, are you still finding the actual game fun?
It felt like I said again, I've only played the first two tracks, but it did feel quite simplistic.
So you see, this is where it is. So like the first two or three tracks are quite clearly just designed to get you used to how it plays. And I imagine actually part of that would be because it's an Apple Arcade game. It's very intuitive to play it on Switch because you're just using a joystick. But I guess like maybe it needs to teach you a little bit how to
use the
touch.
You just sort of tap in on each side of the screen to sort of shimmy across. And it's not like in an Endless Runner where it's you tap on one side and they automatically shoot over. It's almost like you're nudging them across. Right. So you keep tapping to sort of nudge them further and further.
But you see, when you get past those, and especially like when the songs with lyrics start to come into it, that's when sort of like the easiest thing for me to compare it to is Titanfall, in the way that bear with me. So Titanfall, the reason why Titanfall's campaign is so good is because every mission is just about, it has an idea, and then once that idea is done, that is never basically used again in the game. So you've got kind of like the, you know, effects and cause is
I need to play Titanfall 2, don't I? Because if only we had a series where we could play games we haven't played before.
Reminds me of more modern Mario games as well. Yes. They tend to have this idea that they use once and then you never see it again.
Yeah, so sort of like, for example, one of the levels has got the people that you're chasing there on motorbikes, they click like this, but each time they click, the world changes.
Okay.
And then they click and it changes back again. And so what you're kind of doing is, like, as one click goes over, you memorize what the track is like in front of you, and then you start to learn the beat, and you know, okay, so there might be like a second and a half between clicks, so you're anticipating where you're going to be, so you know where to be on the track.
I do, that's my, one of my favorite bits of those sort of games, the rhythm aspect of it as well. Like Thumper had that massively, and it's just like you could close your eyes and almost play it.
I will not necessarily be doing that because I want to see it, but I'm going to play that game this week, and
it's
only an hour and a half, I've heard.
I mean, I think you could probably do it in an hour. It's it's an album, right? So what are albums? Like about 45, 50 minutes?
Depends who you're listening to, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Oh,
that's true.
another game I'm going to play on my Switch this weekend as well. Untitled Goose Game, because I love fucking around with farmers and gardeners.
So that's another one I've just dabbled with as well. Mainly during our flight, well, just after the flight, and Matt was talking about it so much, and I downloaded it and not played it yet.
It does look hilarious.
And I just thought, I need to have a go. Every time we were talking about someone else that we were out there with, they were mentioning it as well. And I was like, every time you guys talk about it, it makes me want to go back and do some of these things.
Have you? How far are you through it, Matt?
I've done maybe 4 areas now, and is I don't know how many there are.
Is it as funny as it looks?
It is quite funny, and and part of it is like, you know, it is a game where if you like tap the minus button on the Switch, it brings up like kind of like a tear out of a notebook, and it's got a list of like goals on it, and those are what you have to do to kind of like transition into the next area. But actually, it's equally as fun to just piss around in it and just annoy. Because, like, obviously, there are always humans in the area. And part of the joy is, like, in the second area, you've got kind of this woman that runs a little market stall.
Yeah.
And, like, the joy of it is just sort of going over and annoying her. And she's tried to brush you out the way of a broom. But you can hold the broom in your mouth and just rip, like, the end of the broom off.
So I'm right in thinking they're all kind of little mini open world levels that you have a checklist of things you have to do.
So there is that, but actually the world is bizarrely is another weird sort of, imagine Dark Souls.
It's connected, is it? So each time you fulfill a series of check sheets, it just opens up
like an
entrance to another part.
And then you can swing round and sort of like, once you've done another area, you can unlock a gate which will lead you back into areas you've been before.
It kind of, whenever I've watched it, it just reminds me of a ridiculous, well, it's a ridiculous game anyway, but it reminds me of Hitman.
Yes, so that's pretty much exactly what it is.
Exactly. I've never thought about it until this moment. Yeah, this is exactly what it is.
You know how, like, you have the opportunities in Hitman? Like, those are sort of what your goals are. They're all little opportunities, basically, to be an absolute prick.
Yeah. As a goose.
You know, you were saying before about how sometimes it's fun just to mess around. I found my favourite moments were trying to complete challenges, but then it not going right, and then just like turning it into something to be a dickhead about. Like in the very first section, or is it the second section, I guess? Like outside of the tutorial.
When you've got the gardener.
When you've got the gardener, and you can just take his keys off the back of his pocket, and he'll always come chasing after his keys. And I just found myself in this endless loop of taking his keys and grabbing them, and then fighting him for them, then taking the keys back, putting them on his belt, turn around, immediately grabbing his keys again, just doing that, and then at one point taking his keys, went over to the lake, just dropped them into the lake.
Mad concept for a game. I love that.
You can torment people.
There's a little boy in the village, and like he's fucking terrified of you. If you just start honking at him and waving your rings, he runs off and locks himself in a telephone box.
Do people actually speak, or they just kind of make noises? Like,
they don't even really make noises, do they?
I think there might be the odd like grunts and the gunner does go make a slight noise, but it's like kind of Minecrafty sort of.
There's one of the ones is at like a garden pub, and there's like two women that are at like having sort of like an afternoon drink, and they'll do things like where they look at you and they're sort of like, do this, and if you flap back at them, they just like,
I will be playing that this weekend. That is, if I can tear myself away from Borderlands 3, because contrary to how I was feeling last week about
the game. You hate Borderlands, right?
I never hated it. I said I was I was kind of enjoying it, but I still think the writing is just terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But I gave it that one big, like, 6-hour session that I needed to give it, and now I'm completely caught in the loop of needing shiny new guns.
That's it, isn't it? It's just that loop. They've just been so good and not even, like, obviously, designing guns, but designing gun components, that every different gun you find is just so interesting and, like, I'm so excited to see what the next gun is that I can use and what I can do with it.
Me, Cardi, GameSpot's Lucy James, and
an
ex-IGN employee, Andrew Goldfarb.
Who is a trophy whore. Yeah. He won't mind me saying that.
That's fine. Not as much me.
Yeah, but we had a real...
You know you are, Andrew.
We had a good four-player session last weekend that went on for a few hours.
I played a good, 12 to 13 hours of Borderlands last weekend.
Oh, and my word.
Because it does feel great, especially once you get three, four guns, however many weapon slots you've got unlocked. It depends at what point in the game.
Another one, yeah.
When you've got some that you're happy with, which I did get to a point where I'm like, I like all these guns and they actually all do things I like. But it feels so good.
I know, Dale, that your preference is to play alone, but when we were playing it as a four, it was A, our chatter outweighs what's going on in the game.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was just the way that we all worked together, and half of that is just unloading all of your clips into the same target so they go down a lot quicker. Yeah. But because I play Moe's and I've got the big mech, I've put a turret on top of the mech, which meant that Cardi could just jump on the back of my mech start gunning people down.
That is pretty good.
I kind of don't enjoy being on there, though. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't enjoy his mechs nearly as much as you do.
Too restricting.
Yeah, I like my own guns. I don't need someone else's gun, Dale.
but it was cool. You can do that thing because you play Amara, right?
Yeah.
And you've got that thing where the big hand comes out the ground, and that's quite cool because then everybody has this big focal target.
It also has this really game-breaking story element, though, when you play as Amara, because the crux of the story is they're all trying to find sirens, and it's all about where are the last sirens, and I'm literally a siren. Especially when we were playing with Lucy and Andrew, who also both played as Amara. Oh. So we've got three sirens running around.
Got no flax on your team, eh? I know a guy.
Also, Diplo Tamor from GameSpot, and I'll mention him because he'll probably get annoyed that I said I didn't play with him, because why would he not?
So how far are you? How many hours you putting in?
I'm level 20, so I just did a quite tasty boss battle, which took me a few tries. Yeah. It's hard to do by yourself, I think.
Gonna have to I did do it.
I was very... I begged for help, but on my last attempt at doing it by myself, I managed to scrape by, so...
That's the thing with playing with Flak. You feel like it's two of you anyway the entire time. Sure. So it does help.
Really, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
It's always been between Moe's and Flak for me. And I think Flak has got the way better character model. You know, Moe's is just a girl with a helmet, right?
From what I've heard as well, he's got much better dialogue. I've never felt my character saying anything annoying. It's just serviceable, whereas I've heard some of the other characters have really bad dialogue.
Moe's is okay. The thing I don't like about Moe's is kind of her incidental bits, when she gets stabbed or shot, or her running panting does not sound it should be in a game.
They get out of breath so quickly. Every time they jump as well, it's a massive
took me ages, by the way, to work on the jumping on the mountain that you have to double tap.
I
just assumed it would click on, and it wasn't working for me for ages. Mm-hmm. And then I realised now if I tap X again when I hit,
it's by no means a perfect game, and it definitely lags to fuck when you're trying to play with anyone else.
Yeah,
and the menu stick, but the combat is very, very good. I'm in the loop, and I will be playing a lot more this weekend when I'm not fucking around with farmers as a goose and driving through neon cities on bikes.
Of course, my problem is fucking Destiny drops next week, and I'm a Destiny boy.
I've never quite been a Destiny boy, but I'm into Borderlands now, trying to find those guns, just endlessly searching for one. Just like the endless search.
Oh god. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
Matthew.
Yes.
You've got a quiz for us that we've done recently, but we enjoyed it so much that we're doing it again. It's a fun original concept, and I'm scared of playing Dale at this game. Mainly because Dale will be good? Last week he showed his screenwriting prowess.
Oh my God.
And ability to come up with an original plot.
Yeah, but that took me a lot of drafts, not just thinking of it on the spot.
Oh, well, so we'll see.
You're going to come up with something to rival my Sherlock Holmes and the lovely bees.
I don't think I'm very good at improvising, so.
Game are we playing, Matt?
Yeah. So, I cannot remember what the name of it was, because so this was Peter Gorbutt, wasn't he? Sent this in about 3 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, God, what was it called?
I'm sure it has a catchy name.
Yeah.
This is, it's just make up a film. We'll that's what it is.
We'll just call it We've Lost the Plot.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah.
There we
that's
go.
Good. See, if you're that good at coming up with a title from tonight. So, the concept of the game is I have found 5 films that are on Netflix.
Okay.
I've seen one of them, but it doesn't matter because I'm the quizmaster.
Okay.
But they've all got sort of odd names or names that don't particularly give away what the idea of the film is. I want you to tell me what you think the film is about. Give me a plot summary, and then we'll see who's the closest.
And the idea is that you've got keywords and things like that, right?
Or no, notes? It's just the title.
Anything that sounds...
Okay. It's a bit like, you know how kind of like things like, I guess like Cards Against Humanity is very much down to the quizmaster who finds it funny.
Fucking hate Cards Against Humanity.
Well, no, not a very good game.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't played it in ages.
If you play
it with the right people and don't know all the cards...
The problem. I feel like I've heard every card
You need expansions, mate. Yeah, I've got some at home. I'll bring them in for you. Let's play the game.
Yeah.
So, you sit at home playing Cards Against Humanity on yourself. I know every combination. You will never win. It's still fun though.
It's always fun.
Right. Maybe keep the potential racist jokes away from this one, because that's what Cards Against Humanity always devolves into.
I thought you were saying last time we played this.
Disgustingly about body parts.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying last time we played this game.
Last time we played that, it was wholesome.
Is Cards Against Humanity worldwide, or is that just a British thing?
They're different versions.
I think it's
Americanized versions as well.
Is it an American concept?
I think
it's an American concept, and then they made like a British pack.
Yeah, because I remember like sometimes you'll always get like Jeremy Corbyn will be in it. Yeah.
Anyway, film one is called Reality High, stylized with a hashtag at the start and no spaces, all lowercase.
Reality High.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go? Who's going first?
I can go first.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
I don't have an answer. I'm just saying.
I'll just go then.
You go.
Well, I think this is quite obviously just a. It's set in an old age pensioner's home, and it is. They've installed these virtual reality headsets into this home, so all these pensioners can pretend that they're back at school and have all of the high school romances that they never really had.
Okay. Oh my God.
Right. Sounds a banger. Oh, <Okay. laughs> it's got Jack Nicholson in it getting a bit randy.
It's absolute filth.
I think hashtag Reality High it's based at school, obviously, but the school is like a sort of Big Brother situation, so they're all being monitored. But it's a comedy, and also there's a lot of weed smoking going on in this reality. Hi.
He's got it. No, you haven't. I like the wordplay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all I've got to go off, if I'm being honest, mate.
Nowhere near as good as either of these. It's high-achieving high school senior Danny Barnes dreams of getting into UC Davis, the world's top veterinary school. Then a glamorous new friend, who apparently is addicted to social media, draws her into a Southern California scene that threatens everything she's worked for.
What's
that
the reality bit got to do with it, then?
I think it's probably to do with the friend that's well into social media.
As in, like, she gets lost in what's not reality.
God, that sounds garbage, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Both of our sound better. Who won, then?
Well, I mean, technically neither of you.
All right, mate.
I'm going to go, but shall we give points to what we consider the... So Joe very much, when Joe played it as Quizmaster, he was kind of
keywords.
Like looking for the closest
keywords.
You sound
like you've been a coward here, mate. Just tell us who won and who lost.
Yours actually involved
yours technically,
kids at school.
Yeah, yours was kids at school. And I like your pun.
Okay,
so.
Well, there we go.
Mine was filth, though, so what would you rather watch?
Can I have your pen, Dale, just so I can mark you a...
1-0 to Dale, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hello.
Locked up.
You're first. No,
locked up. Okay. I'm thinking Cockney gangster film. There's like four guys who were on a prison heist, but they got busted. But now they're in prison and they've got to solve escaping, and I, well, there's this must be a pun. I don't know. So I told you I'm not good at improvising.
So it's an escape movie, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're escaping from prison, but it's a, so they're a bunch of wide boys. That's all I got.
Mine is all about an animated cat who is locked inside of a cage at home, and the house is on fire, and they need to work out how to escape. It's a short. It's an animated short. It's 10 minutes.
Is this on before the next Pixar?
Yeah.
You think saying it's a short concedes you the point, mate? At least mine's a film.
No. It's a short. No one said these were feature length. It's a short, and basically this cat. There's a baby in the room that's crying, and the cat needs to escape from their cage and then put out this fire before the baby dies.
In a short,
because all the people are out. Yeah, 10 minutes. Think Looney Tunes, but 3D.
Point to Dale. Locked up is when an American teenager gets bullied at her school in Southeast Asia. She fights back and gets sent to a reform school, but the school is more like a prison, and the young teenager must fend off predatory guards and menacing gangs to survive.
Apart from the word prison, I've got nothing.
Mine was locked up as well. There was more danger in mine.
Yeah. Right. Film three.
Also more mental shit.
Film three is Christian Mingle, the movie.
Sorry?
Christian Mingle. Who is Christian Mingle?
Christian Mingle. This is all about at Christmas time, there's a big old party at the church and everyone's mingling and everyone's just kind of having a good old Christian mingle at the church, and they're exchanging red wine and everyone gets a little bit too drunk and they all kind of admit slowly to each other that they don't believe in God.
Okay. Mine's it's about a guy called Christian, and right. he's actually agoraphobic. He never goes outside, and the title of the film actually should be Christian, comma, Mingle. There's people trying to get him out of his slump and trying to get him back into the real world. There we go. That's all I got.
Right, it's a point for Cardi. Christian Mingle, the movie, is about a marketing executive tries to find Mr. Right on the Christian dating website Christian Mingle.
Oh God, so it's not personal. I've seen
When impressing her dream guy ends in disaster, Gwyneth gets in touch with her spiritual side
and realises slowly that she doesn't believe in God.
Who's watching that? Shite.
I'm on now. I'm going to watch all these.
Right. Film four is Kid Cannabis.
Oh, I've seen the thumbnail for that.
You've seen this.
No, I've seen the thumbnail for that, but I have no idea what it is. I know it's a guy who looks a bit like Fat Jonah Hill. And I want to say he's a nerd who finds out that he can make money selling weed, and then it's his rise to the top.
So it's a bit like Breaking Bad, but for
a
lower grade.
Yeah, but it's a comedy as well. It's like How High.
So mine is, it's the high school comedy version of Breaking Bad. It's basically Pineapple Express, but shit. And it's about a kid who, his parents are away for the summer, so he starts a weed business up in the pool of his back garden and starts selling it and gets in trouble with local gang members, and it ends with a big old like shootout and police rescue him right as his parents come home from summer holiday.
It's very Pineapple Express.
It's basically my idea, but you just added loads of detail to it, so you've got the advantage.
Wow.
Based on that, I'm going to give it to Dale.
What? Okay. So did he go too far away? That was the problem.
Well, I think, like you say, he did just steal your idea.
It's obviously about one thing.
What none of you did get was basically this is an 18-year-old high school dropout and his 27-year-old friend start trafficking marijuana across the border of Canada in order to make money, and their lives are changed forever.
Is he a nerd?
Unbelievable.
I mean,
he looks like a nerd.
He does look a bit like a nerd. Right, last one, which is the one that I've seen. Catwalk, Tales from the Cat Show Circuit.
Go on, Curly. Oh, I think I've got an idea. Shall I go first?
No.
Okay.
All right. I think this is a film, like a parody film, kind of Spinal Tap-esque, about cat fashion shows. That's it.
That's sort of what I got.
What have you got?
Mine is it's like a film about supermodels, but it's like sort of like Lady and the Tramp, where they're all cats, but they talk and act like human beings. It's just like an animated version of like a film about supermodels trying to be each other. I don't know what supermodels do. Model, probably.
Cuddy.
Whoa.
So Catwalk is a documentary.
Okay.
Meet the fascinating felines and the people who pamper them in this whimsical look at the ins and outs of Canada's competitive cat show circuit.
What is it with Canada again? Did you do this while we were in Canada?
No. I thought I actually knew this one, but I thought it was a mockumentary, not an actual
documentary. No, so I have watched this and it might as well be a mockumentary, but it is fucking bizarre.
Why have you watched this?
So me and my friend, actually it was sort of like in the months before I left my previous job when I was living in Bath and moved here, we started having like movie nights where we'd find like strange documentaries, and this started with Fire Festival. And obviously that is an amazing sort of, like, you know, you're watching it and each minute you're like, how can this get worse? Oh, it got worse.
Wait, did you watch the Netflix one or the
Netflix one? Okay. So then it was just kind of, it came like a thing that each Sunday we'd go around to my friend's flat and we'd try and watch a weird documentary. So Catwalk was one of them. Have you ever seen the one that's about the little golfers?
No. Yes, I have.
That's terrifying. Yeah. Like, it's really weird. It's about like people,
like, professionals, about
like 6 year olds golfers, yeah, yeah, and like watching their parents like bully these 6 year olds.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Is Catwalk worth watching?
It's quite low budget, but it is quite, if you like, so I quite like cats anyway. Yeah. But it's quite funny to watch mad like housewives that have got nothing better to do than like pamper cats just getting really bitchy about each other because they don't like it. That, like, one of the, I think the cat's called Ooh La La, which is like this furry, you know, big furry Persian cat thing. Okay. And it's like how it like storms onto the circuit, and like the previous cat like winner is just very angry.
Amazing. Oh my god, that story of Talladega Nights.
You won 3-2.
Yeah.
Proud of yourself.
Yeah, I won last week as well. Do you remember that?
What?
Well, me and you played last week, and I won.
A lot of nonsense going around recently.
Do you want another point?
No, I don't care. I was going to say something. I was going to try and recite the man from Come Die Me, who goes, "Hope you're happy yourself."
Oh yeah, what a sad little life you lead.
But I forgot halfway through.
It's all the decorum of a reversing dump truck with no tyres on.
Yeah. Take your money and get out of my house.
I love that guy so much. This is Brent look at cameras as well. Yeah. So good.
Oh, what a hero. Right. Let's have some feedback.
All right, I'm up first. And it's my vanity session here, because these are people responding to the film known as Citizen.
That you wrote.
That I wrote, and the island ripped me off. This is from Daryl Anthony. And I'm going to read the subject line out. We don't always do that, but I thought I might as well, because it says, "Dale is more brilliant than I thought."
Aww.
It's a bit big edit, isn't it?
Yeah. I did write it, so.
Yeah, but you read it.
Hey guys, I've been listening to your pod since 500. Great job. That's what, he's been listening to it since 500.
So we've got
We have a new listener.
Welcome.
Don't have many of them. They're normally like, I've been listening since 84.
You've decided within 6 weeks that you're brilliant.
That is good, actually. Yeah, he hasn't heard the rest of the show. I was saying, great job there. I've been so enthralled with you that I went back and started listening from as far back as Spotify Keeps, which is 68. After listening to a very enjoyable pod about Link's Awakening, which I'm very excited about, I was highly surprised by Dale's short piece, Citizen. I've never heard it called that before, short piece. It actually sounds like something that could be big. So I say someone should kickstart it for you. It's already been made, Daryl. I've made this film. It's out there for you to watch, mate.
Does he mean like as a feature length?
Yeah. It's not a feature, mate. It's a short. I don't know if I could extend
like the cat escaping the burning building.
Yeah. I'd offer, but I'm broke as shit. Sorry, Dale. It's fine, because it's already been made. And, it's and he put his name as Abracadarrel. It's the magic man, I guess.
People like your film.
Daryl, thank you very much, mate. It's already been made. Check it out.
What's the easiest way to find it?
Citizen short film, and then also type in Dale Driver. I guess that probably help as well.
Yeah, but, probably will.
Yeah. Right, this is someone else talking about Citizen as well. This is from Eric Renault. Renault? I guess so. Regarding Dale's, in inverted commas, original idea for Citizen, and he spelt Citizen C1T1ZEN.
How is it spelt?
Just the traditional way, mate. just the word Citizen. That's it. Has he ever heard of the 2008 movie The Lazarus Project starring Paul Walker? Sounds like his idea isn't so original after all.
I have not seen this film.
I have not, and I don't know much about it. I remember seeing the name of it somewhere, but not.
When did you make this film?
2014.
Sounds like you did copy the film you've never seen.
Yeah. I'm actually going to read what the plot of The Lazarus Project is afterwards. But yes, I mean, dare I say, I didn't think it was 100% a complete original idea. It was slightly derivative of some things. I just tried to find my own unique take of it.
You did. Yeah. I don't want to spoil Shutter Island, but some people thought it was similar to that.
I can absolutely see where they're coming from, and I have seen Shutter Island. Yeah, it's very good. Although, dare I say, are we spoiling Shutter Island?
No, we're not.
In Shutter Island, that's all about he's creating these situations where this is the prison guards are, well, the prisoners are creating this. Sorry, the officers are creating this situation for the prisoners.
Right.
So that's where it's different.
We weren't spoiling it, but there we go.
There we go, I spoiled it.
Where's Citizen 2?
In the back of my mind somewhere.
Let's kickstart that.
Right, what have we got here? We got one from Luke Davis, who has been he says, I've been listening to the podcast for quite a while and wanted to offer a huge congratulations on 500.
Nice.
So here's to 500 more. I see, I like to read out the little nice bits that Joe refuses to read. I think we're deserving of some praise.
I don't know why Joe's like gets embarrassed about that. It's nice. Nice to be nice.
He gets it enough, some of us don't.
Yeah, so, give us more.
We don't have all our little side gigs.
Biting. Okay. I was like, what are you talking about? What's he been doing? And then I realised what you're on about.
Got his other famous podcast, hasn't he? He's after a bit of friendly advice. What?
Just laughing about the silence. Yeah.
He would love that.
Right, back to Luke. As a kid, I had all the time in the world to play games on the PlayStation and complete storylines over and over. Some childhood favourites include Bugs Bunny Lost in Time.
That's an absolute banger.
Is it actually good?
I loved that kid. Loved that game when I was a kid.
Siphon Filter and Resident Evil 2.
Bangers, both bangers.
Bit of a contrast, I know. I was a strange child. But now as a 25-year-old guy living in the city, working in media, it can be hard finding the time to sit down and get into a game.
Tell me about it.
I was wondering if you could suggest a handful of PS4 games I could easily dip in and out of without losing the magic of a gripping storyline. Not a big fan of RPGs, but open to any suggestions.
So nothing really with a plot that you can
have use. You heard of this game called Rainbow Six Siege? We may have mentioned it once or twice.
It's good. Borderlands 3 is also perfect because
that's actually good, because you don't need to give a fuck about the story.
Yeah, because I personally don't. Some people do. If you do, all the best to you.
Yeah, just play a couple of missions at a night. You could easily do side missions.
Borderlands is a good one.
On the back of
Always Overwatch.
Yeah, on the back of that, I would suggest Destiny, and Destiny 2 is about to go free to play with almost probably about 2/3 of its content is about to go free.
Those are all like, if you enjoy, what if he doesn't enjoy shooting people in the face?
What I would suggest, No Man's Sky, if you're well into building stuff.
Goose Game. Was that? That's not on PS4.
No.
No Man's Sky is a good shout, yeah.
Could you just chip away at building like a big base?
You don't have to do anything. You could just explore. And then when you're bored of exploring for him or you ran out of time, leave it.
I'm always willing to promote The Witness for something you can jump in and out of at any time, because that is an incredible game.
Yeah, it can be quite stressful though.
Not if you've got a mind like mine, Dale.
Also, he's got a postscript here as well.
Okay.
Honestly, found myself walking around the shop in search of a bag of Revels during the endless search a couple of weeks ago. Turns out Tesco Express on City Road in Cardiff is too arrogant to stock
such
a treat.
You don't see them around much anymore. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place.
The lesser seen Revel.
Yeah. They're Red Sea, but when you do, you really got a Revel in it.
Fuck off.
Got some feedback here from Ryan Turner, who says, hello lads.
Hello Ryan.
After listening to you all go on about Siege for ages, I finally gave it a go during the free weekend. So I had one the last 10 days or so, I think.
Yeah.
Which we really should have told people about.
Loved it
instantly and bought it for a tasty...
He loved it instantly? Oh my God.
And bought it for a tasty £6.80.
That's a bargain.
That's a bargain for 100 hours.
I didn't expect someone to love it instantly, because I think...
It's hard.
When you don't know anything and other people are just masters that you're playing against. Mm. I can imagine it's quite intimidating at first.
You really got to know those maps, I think, to fully get
But
that
stick
game.
With it. Play it for a few days.
Well, he bought it and he's enjoying it. His question for us is, what games have you reluctantly tried due to people fucking banging on about saying we're banging on about it later, and played it and then loved?
Skyrim.
Oh.
Only because I loved Fallout, but I High fantasy is not my cup of tea normally, so I actively avoid things. I've never played The Witcher either for similar reasons. I know, right? But for similar reasons. But I remember I was at university at the time and just everyone was just going on about Skyrim, telling me about all these and other people having stories that I couldn't be involved with.
Yeah.
And then I saw it go on sale for 20 quid and I was like, fine, I will give it a go. And then 100 hours later, I was still playing Skyrim and loving it.
Yeah. I think mine is... now my favourite game of all time, Overwatch. For the first year and a half game was out, I never played it. Mainly because, not cause I would listen to this podcast and people would bang on about it and stuff, and but I never had friends who played it and I never really fancied it. I never really played that many online games because none of my friends really played Overwatch at all.
I think with
but
that,
once I was into it, oh my God, is it good.
I think with that and Siege, it's definitely... the experience definitely helps when you play them as a team. And I know I was saying earlier about playing Borderlands on my own, but I think those games, they're really hard to play on your own and get a lot of enjoyment out of. You need, it's about working together as a team, and that makes
so
it so much
I've owned, because I obviously play Overwatch on PC, which is not sort of like what the IGN team have got. So I've basically only ever solo queued for Overwatch.
Really?
But I think the important distinction there is like I always play it in quick play. Like I did competitive for about 2 seasons, and when you're on your own, it's a pretty toxic environment to be in.
Especially because you're constantly being judged for who you're picking.
Yeah.
Alternatively, he asks, are there any that people have gone on about and you've ended up hating and now trust those people a little less?
Oh, God. There was.
That's harder because rarely do I think that people bang on about are actually bad. Mm. But the amount of I've tried playing Destiny about 4 or 5 times now, and I've just realised now it's not for me.
Is it? When was the last time you played it?
About a month ago.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just doesn't go with me. Doesn't vibe.
I feel like the older I get, the less likely I am to give things a shot when like, because you know, your time is so like valuable. You want to spend it doing the things that you really want to do and really enjoy. And I feel like you could tell me something's the greatest game in the world, but if I don't like the look of it, I'm probably not going
to
give it.
It's very similar to me with Souls games. I've tried all of them now.
Never done that.
Tried all of them about 3 or 4 times between them, and I've just realised that I just don't find them fun. I appreciate the hell out of them,
so that's
but they're
my.
They're just not fun for me.
That is my answer to this. Is that like it took me until sort of last year to actually get around, and Bloodborne was the first one I played. And I really, really like that. I've not done a huge amount of that. Actually, I've only played Dark Souls 1 and I've not finished it yet, but I largely because sort of like Sekiro came out, and also when I stopped playing it, I'm in a place called Sen's Fortress, which is a bit of a fucker, and I do really mean to go back to it, but Sen's Fortress comes after, if you've heard of Blight Town. Blight Town's just an absolute shit of a place, and I hope never, ever, ever to have to return to it.
Blight Town. Blight Town.
Is it Blight Town one with all the thin walkways?
Yeah.
There's a lot of
thin walkways. Compared to try.
Oh, it's an absolute... I don't like the person that designed that. I hope never to have to interview them. And I've got all the other, like I've got Dark Souls 3 is one of those ones where I feel like I'd quite like to do that over like a Christmas break. But there are so many games that have come out this year that probably something like Link's Awakening is going to be my Christmas game, I think.
It's not going to happen.
But basically, turns out I do really like the Souls games.
That's another example, actually. I just remember for Breath of the Wild. So I just don't really like Zelda games. I've never really cared about them. The art style doesn't speak to me like every time. But I played Breath of the Wild just because everyone in this office would not start going on about it. And I actually, although I don't like it as much as a lot of people, I still really had a good time and I finished it.
I think I'm in a similar boat to you with that. Ryan says, P.S. McCoy's nacho cheese flavour muchos are absolute dynamite.
I feel like I just feel naughty eating those sort of crisps.
They are fucking good.
I only
bought like a bag from when they came out, and haven't had them since, but they were good. If you've got any games that people bang on about that you've either loved or hated, and therefore love or hate that person, let us know at IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. And if anyone else wants to tell Dale of any things he ripped off with his film Citizen, please send in all the influences. We'll read them all out.
I can send you more films as well, and you can tell me what else I ripped off.
Amazing. Thank you for listening. We've got to have a bit of music. Is it too obvious to play some Cyanide Wild Hearts, or do we play a bit of the Amazing Joker score?
Oh, you're going to edit this, aren't you?
Do you know what? We'll go sayonara Wild Hearts. Okay. Because in a couple of weeks when we go fully into Joker,
That's true, a bit
of a spoiler cast for it, we'll play some Joker music. Yeah. So here's a bit. This is going to be Matt's choice of song from sayonara Wild Hearts. And I don't know what it is yet.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.